Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for July 18th, 2020. Julia, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I can tell you a little bit about
what brought you here.
Well, I joined First Abundance Bound because I have to work out the money side of things, which I'm an actor and a singer. I've put it off for as long as I can, and it's just getting to be like the point where you really have to figure it out. Really, my struggle has just been, it's so hard to budget when you just don't make anything, you know? So it's like my struggle has been learning how to make money than, I feel like, you know, some issues with spending money that could be worked on. But I think, you know, the vast majority of the issue is just not knowing how to make it. I know in terms of like, I don't know. I've been listening through the course. I'm part way. But one of the big, I loved the thing you said about, one of my issues has been the conflict of making a decision on like, well, what do I do first? Like, so the thing you said about like the 40-hour-a-week survival job, and then pivot that to slide in and dovetail that with the side hustle, and then have just the side hustle, and then dovetail that with ideally the performance career. That just to have that roadmap helped so much. Because one of the things has been like, well, I do teach voice lessons, so I feel like that could be a very growable thing. My background is in opera, and I feel like I could do something where I'm like teaching opera singers how to like actually act, coach their performing abilities. So I'm sort of that weird in between person where I don't know, I really know how to sing and I really know how to act, and I could teach both those things. So anyway, all that, but then it's like, that's not quick money. I mean, it is, but it's not like quick pay all your bills money. So I was like, I think I need to get a better restaurant job that just pays more just in the very, very short term. So I'm a little sleepy today. We're humid and rainy, so I apologize for that very disjointed explanation, but I'm happy to be here. I loved the simple way that you explain things.
Thanks. So when you currently do voice lessons,
but I've only ever had like 2-ish clients.
Okay. And did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I do.
And how much were you charging?
It was different. There was one was, she knew she was my first student, so I was charging her $60 an hour, and I started that years ago. Though I think she's had some tough financial times lately, so I haven't seen her lately. And then the other two, I've charged around $100 an hour.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about that rate?
I'm just asking.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the going rate for a good voice teacher in New York, but it's also like, I feel nervous about it because a lot of the people I personally know are like struggling artists. So I just am like, or if I were to teach Zoom lessons of someone's cousin in Kansas, you know, I would feel like weird. I don't know. I think in, you know, Kansas or wherever, there's like a different hourly rate for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So I'm just going to like put two little seeds in your head. So
yeah.
Think about, there's probably a different going rate in Kansas for voice teachers But if someone for Kansas wants that rate, they can have a teacher in Kansas. But if they want a New York voice teacher, mm-hmm. then they're going to pay your rate. And the reason is your rate has nothing to do with how you are physically delivering the information, whether the person's in person or over Zoom.
Yeah.
Zoom just allows somebody in Kansas to study with somebody from New York. So it's really opening their world beyond the teachers they have available. So, and that's their choice. And the content that you're delivering and the training and the way that your brain picks up and you can help them manipulate how the sound is cut, that's what they're paying for. Mm. They're also paying for you to shift your attention from your life and all the things that you would like to do for you and take an hour of your life force and go, okay, I will focus my time on you and helping you. And I'm happy to do that for this exchange. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll go do all the stuff I need to do in my life.
Yeah.
Especially when this is a side business, because
yeah.
I'd rather you be spending stuff on pursuing your own career, unless someone wants to pay you a significant amount to do what they need. That's how I want you to think of it versus, well, in person is this much and the other thing is this
yeah.
much.
Mm-mm.
No, it's you. They're renting your brain.
Yeah.
And rental for your brain, no matter where it is this much money.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I want to give you. And the second thing is, and this is, look, I can only sit here and tell you these things because I've learned them from experience the hard way of making all of these like errors and being like, oh, wait, oh, and then someone would tell me something and it would open my head up. Okay. So I've been there. I'm not like this is everyone. No one teaches us this stuff. So it's like, oh, okay. But what I want to do is help you figure out and understand these concepts from the beginning, not 5 years into not making any money with your side business.
Yeah.
So the second thing is your peer group, your friend group may not be a great client group for you. You're not going to yeah. make any money if you're catering to people who can't afford voice lessons.
Yeah.
You got to find the people and create the service and find what people really want. Of like, oh God, yes. Can you help me with that? Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yes, please. Okay. Worth the investment.
Yeah.
So when we're thinking about you and positioning you as a voice coach, we'll want to look at something a little more specific than that so that you can go after a group of people who really have the pain that you can solve and who have the cash.
Yeah.
To have a lucrative, it's interesting because I think when people think about pricing and when I'm like, you have to have a certain price so that you can afford to pay for like your taxes and your life, it sounds like I'm just saying, go after the rich people. Mm-hmm. But that's not it. If you go after a true pain point for people, they are like, I will part with my money to solve that for myself. Yeah. They may not have a lot of money or they yeah. might have a ton of money, but when it comes to this problem, they're either not going to let money get in the way or they have money is not their problem. They have money. Fixing this is their problem.
Yeah.
You see? So you're not taking money from people who don't have it. You want to find a problem that people are like, oh, it's worth paying to solve.
Yeah. And I think part of my disconnect has been that I know probably that what I would feel is reasonable for me to give up an hour of my life for something is not, you know, I've had people say like, oh, you know, tentatively ask, and then they hear the rate and I kind of don't hear a follow up, you know, like, So it's like, should I lower it? But then, so yeah, this disconnect of how to find those mm-hmm. people, and also like knowing what is the pain point that I mm-hmm. solve, you know? So yeah, because I'm kind of like a weirdo, like even as, yeah, I'm kind of live between worlds, and I wouldn't say I'm like, I'm not like a voice purist where all I do is live and think and breathe about vocal tech.
Yeah. So what you just kind of articulated there is a common thing that it's where people go when it's quote unquote not working, is they just start going, oh, it must be the price. If I lower mm-hmm. the price, it will just automatically attract people. And I'd say test that theory, because it won't work. It won't work, because that's not actually the problem. When you get your positioning right, mm-hmm. and you tap into where to find your right clients, mm-hmm. the price is just then the price.
Yeah.
And of course okay. you have to pick a price that is, because your life force really has an unmeasurable value. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get paid your worth, because you're worth so much. You'll get paid the amount that the market can bear and that you're able to articulate the value of. Mm-hmm. I think I say in the course, you can charge whatever amount you can articulate the value for. And if you mm-hmm. get better at articulating the value for, to the right people, you can get paid whatever you want, as yeah. long as it's not like way outside the market. Mm-hmm. So when you really think of price, where do you like, oh, I really wish I could charge this?
I mean, I think like at least like, I mean, 100 an hour, I wouldn't have to have that many students like to cover my bills, you know, like right. I think my voice teacher charges $250 an hour. Like, so there's a level to which, I mean, yeah, that $150 would be awesome, but I also $100 would be very comfortable as well.
And why do you pay your voice teacher $250 an hour?
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. Like, I am that person that I don't have a lot of money, but I had a big problem that I have to solve, which is getting my voice to be from a classically trained opera singer to sounding like, because I look like I could play, you know, in the world of like Wicked on Broadway, you know, and like
waitress,
how do I go
like yeah. any kind of pop musical, mm-hmm.
like how do I sounding like the classically trained singer to being that kind of singing. And, you know, I went like straight to the top of the source and like figured out how to pay for it. So I believe you on it. It's just, I don't quite know how to find what is the pain point that I solve. And, you know, like I'm not afraid of doing research. I just don't know quite how.
And how did you pick this person to be your voice coach?
I have had many voice teachers in my life. So I did a lot of research. There were a lot of like testimonials from actors I knew of who sang really well. And I could listen to how their students sound, and it sounded very like healthy to me. So yeah.
And so we're going to stay for a minute in the realm of just voice coaching. So what makes you different? What are you good with working with a certain type of person? Because mm-hmm. that can be one way to differentiate, like people who work with kids or people who work with people with speech impediments or whatever. Like, are you good at working with a specific type of person? Is there a type of person you just love to work with? Is there a type of problem you love to solve or work on, or like mm-hmm. what do you delight in around voice coaching?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what I delight in and what I've done so far maybe are two different things, but I can say, I mean, none of my students have been displeased. Like people feel very happy. And I think something that I'm really good at is articulating to beginners, like, and dispelling the myths about voice teaching and about singing that people have, and explaining like the high level things to beginners that, and then also the thing that I would delight, like what I would really love to do, but I feel I'm a little scared of it because I feel like there's more responsibility to it, is I mean, I would love to work with like 14 to 16 year old young singing actresses, you know, like young, like teenagers who want to act and sing at the same time and like learn how to do both very well and convincingly, you know, without like one hurting the other. That's what I delight in, is kind of that combo.
And what appeals to you about that age group?
I mean, it's like, maybe it's false because I haven't taught them before. I don't know, but I like really, it's almost like I wish, oh no, I always cry when I talk about like truthful things. So I apologize.
No, no,
the actress self.
You don't apologize. Just go on into it. It's beautiful.
It's like, I wish, I had had like a me when I was that age, you know, and not that I didn't have mentors at all. I feel like there's so much I could offer them and so much I could say that would, kind of ease their fears around like performing and like sort of smooth the path for them, you know? So that's what I feel I could do. And also I think I could, where I am, I know definitely enough to help them, you know, like I feel very secure about that. Versus if I were to teach someone who's also auditioning for Broadway, I'd be like, well, we're kind of on the same level. You know?
Yeah. So what if you are the mentor voice coach who helps beginner singer actors go pro faster?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now you've started to distinguish yourself in that you're a mentor voice coach. This isn't just about getting the technique exactly right. It's about your development and learning the things that you wish you had someone to tell you.
So yeah.
Mentor voice coach who helps, I don't know exactly how to state this, but helps beginning or actors who are
like young singing actors, I guess.
Well, the reason I didn't use the word young is because I don't know if you can get like a 25-year-old who's just beginning, who's like, I think I can sing, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, we don't want to exclude that, but you can say young and then just, because sometimes even when you niche, other people are like, I know you work with young people, but could you work with me? People will do that.
Yeah. And I think that, beginner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like, it sounds better if it's young. If it says,
yeah,
I'm a mentor voice coach to young actors, singers who want to go pro faster. That.
Yeah.
Where you're tapping into their frustration and agitation. They want to be on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
And they are, they want to have it right now, but they're also afraid it's going to take them too long. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, she helps people go pro faster. And what I like about that is this is not dabblers. These aren't mm-hmm. dabblers. These are people, kids who are like, I mean, at 5 years old, I was like, I'm going to be a professional actor. Like I was career minded.
Yeah.
And very anxious. All my parents were like, I mean, I live here and I grew up here in Los Angeles. And my parents were still like, once you go to college, you can do whatever you want. I had the two parents who were not involved in the industry, but I was so focused. And they'll pay if they're ambitious, their parents will pay for them.
Totally.
And I think that because technically if you're going with someone under 18, they're not actually your client. They're your client, but they're not your like customer. The customer is the person who's paying. So I think it's more appealing to parents if you're like the mentor vocal coach, maybe of like, this is really about, I know that you, so there's going to be a portion of your website where you're talking to parents.
Yeah.
And like, okay, you've got a very ambitious, wonderful little gem on your hands who's ready to go. And, but what I know is that you know some things about this industry and how harsh it could be. And you want the best for them. And you want them to have really good guidance. And that's really what I offer in conjunction with my services as a voice coach. I'm the person I wish I had had, my ambitious young self had had at that age, because it would have helped the process go smoother and faster.
Yeah, totally.
So you're, and then you're charging $150 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want you to. Sure. Net $100. We want you to actually get $100 after taxes and what.
Yeah. Totally. Okay.
And you see how that sounds like a thing. I do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, I can teach you vocal lessons. It's like, no. I know who I am. And I know why I'm here, and I know how I can solve this problem for you. And that happens to be my rate.
Yeah, totally. And you don't think that, because I've done well with like one of my students is a lawyer, but then loves music desperately and then sings in a country band and like practices voice all day just because when he's not working, you know, like 50. So it's like, I don't want to preclude those people, but I think it's what you were saying, where the more specific you go, like in the recording, I heard you say, like, it doesn't actually end
up, no.
Like, people don't actually go away because they're like, oh, she doesn't teach me. Okay. Bye.
And how did you get the lawyer?
I would love to do is this. They're a family member. So they know me. They know that I do things very, very well, you know.
So you're going to get a wide variety of clients because people will hear about you.
So they like
ask you.
Yeah.
And then you go, sure, I can totally help you. And then that's the same.
Okay.
Same rate. Okay. The other thing about 150 is it then allows you, if you want to be like, and I mean, I don't know, like what the base amount of lessons you would really want to have with someone to make any sort of progress. 8, uh-huh. I don't know, whatever that number is, it could say, you know, you can a la carte me if you want at 150, or, you know, you can commit to a package and then that's 120.
Okay. Oh, totally. Yeah.
And then if you have a friend, you can be like, well, I'll give you my package rate for an hour. You know, you can,
okay.
But notice even your discounted package, friends and family, whatever, is still above what you are fine getting. We've established you're fine at 100. So anything you get above 100 is gravy.
Yeah.
But I want your discounted price not to dip below that baseline.
Totally. Okay. Yeah.
You're not, this isn't, even if your friend was like, oh my gosh, Julia, can you please, please help me? You're like, yeah, but this isn't what I do for fun. Mm-hmm. Like if you want me to take my time away from my life, you're still going to have to pay because this is how I make money.
Yeah, totally. So,
and you just teach your friends to respect that. And that's, and it's okay if they can't afford you. There's a million other voice teachers out there charging $60 an hour that they can go to. You're not denying anybody services of a voice coach by pricing yourself somewhere. There's always people below you and there's always people above you. So then though, that doesn't
I guess the only reason has, I think there's a lag. So I started talking the same.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I think it's like, I buy into all that and believe it for sure. The disconnect for me has been, well, yeah, I mean, you helped me, that articulation of an idea for how to sell it really helps. And then the issue has been like, how does one acquire clientele?
Right.
You know, because that's the temptation. Go ahead.
Have you heard of Robert Hartwell? Mm-mm. Okay. I want you to look him up. Okay. He is a Broadway dancer who started this whole summer camp for teenagers who want to be musical theater stars. And he has all his Broadway friends come and do like guest classes and blah, 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 blah. So I want you to dig in, look around and see if you can find the breadcrumbs of where he found his people.
Okay.
You want to look for early interviews with him where he's saying like, oh, and I did this. And then I put this notice out on the, and he did, you know, internet marketing and it, but I don't want you to look at his business, and he's kind of veering off after COVID. He had to switch things up, but it's not what he's built right now. That started with him just being like, I got to do my first one. Where am I going to find these teenagers? So,
okay.
It's looking for people who are already catering to that crowd and introducing yourself as like, hey, I just want to let you know I exist in case you have anybody, any students you know who's on this trajectory.
Okay.
I just want to let you know that I exist. And what you, I encourage you to go for people who aren't in obviously direct conflict. I'm not saying go to Robert because he has all his people already, but it's like, who are the dance teachers? Because some of those dancers are also singing and acting and whatever. And the way you can position yourself is like, everyone has to start where they are, Idaho, but their trajectory is New York.
Mm-hmm.
So the sooner they can start working with people at the level of instruction in New York,
mm-hmm.
the better.
Mm-hmm.
And the glory of Zoom is it allows us to do that.
Totally.
So you're coming in and finding the dance teachers, the acting teachers, the people who aren't teaching singers, but who have those little like superstars in there. And you're not saying, introduce me to all your students. You're saying, if you have, you know, the one or two gems in your student body that are like really pre-professional and professionally minded and have New York as a target for musical theater,
mm-hmm.
I just want to let you know I exist because I love working with people. I'm not just a voice coach. I'm also a mentor. I'm the person I wish I had had when I was starting my, you know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And you just introduce yourself to people.
Okay.
And that's how it's going. And it'll feel slow at first because you're like, I don't know. I don't hear back from the people. And I think I say this in the course, send an email of introduction, but also maybe drop a voice message so they can hear your voice and that you're not psycho. I just want to let you hear my voice to let you know I'm not crazy. I'm an actual person and I actually do this and love working with these. And then, you know, closer to home, where are all these pre, you know, where are all the under 18 people hanging out, and how do you get to their parents?
Yeah. Even at the, like, there's so many bougie boarding school or private schools in Manhattan, like just emailing, I don't know. Yeah. Like
you find out, like, is there, who's in charge of the, you know, like parents association.
Yeah.
And then you introduce yourself to them asking, you know, is there a way that I can be shared as a resource amongst parents in case their children see? So you're not even asking, you're just going, you know, is there someone I should talk to about this? Is there a way that you guys share resources? You're just finding out.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can figure out how they do that, then it's easier to approach other schools with, like, okay, I know who to talk to or who to ask for and what to present.
Totally.
You don't know how you're going to find your clients. You have to just start going, where are they hanging out and where are their parents hanging out even more?
Totally. Okay.
So, and as I suggest in the course, it's like, if you wish you had eight lessons a week, well, that would take up this much time. So use that time to go find your clients.
Mm-hmm.
If you were being paid and carving out that time, you can carve it out now and use that 8 hours towards this side business.
Yeah.
And then just because you're offering that does not mean you cannot, and I think you should. I think you should also offer the whole opera singers who want to learn to improve their acting chops.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating, interesting, and you can, you know, every year these conservatories pump out a new class of 3 or 4 or 10 opera singers who want to make it. And it's like, you know, how do you find them? What's the alumni associations? Are there alumni associations?
Yeah.
You know, it's just that. It's like, you're just going, hey, I exist. Hey, I exist. If this is what you're looking for, I exist. The reason you don't have clients right now, right this second, of opera people is because they don't know you exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see if you start letting them know you exist, how many bites you get.
Okay. Totally.
And definitely, yeah, and 150 for that.
World, because I did that for 6 years, you know, like it. So it's like, I think it's just a matter of articulating. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. But yeah, there's a need.
Yeah. So, and then we can have a conversation later really about marketing, about what you're actually needing to say to get people to be like, oh, she's my person. And oh, she gets me and she really understands my problem. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
totally. Okay. That's awesome. So, thank
you. Yeah. Go get a more lucrative restaurant gig for sure, because I want you to feel not stressed about paying your rent. That is like baseline.
Exactly.
So do that. But now I want you to start thinking about this in a different way, about like, this is actually possible. And how many clients would I need to have at 150 or 125 a pop?
Okay. Yeah. I love that. No. Thank you. It's really what I've felt like is an obvious thing as a support job while I learn to be a performer. It's just a whole thing you have to learn how to do. You know, so that's why I'm here. So I thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Appreciate and it. It's totally learnable. This isn't like magical skills. No. It's totally learnable. And you won't have to learn that much. We just need to find what will work for you. And then you just do that.
Okay.
Repeatedly.
Oh, I'm so relieved. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Awesome. Thanks for starting off the call. Hi, everybody else. Raise your hand. Regina, we're going to go to you next because you sent in your question. This is Regina. She's a cash flow cat and her business is energy balancing sessions for pets and the homes they share with their humans. Okay. So what you wrote, your question is, you wrote, I know that with the quote unquote death doula part of my energy balancing sessions, meaning there's been a pet who has died and you're helping the family with that, it might be important to work with the human caretakers, but I've begun to realize I prefer just working with the animal and clearing the home. I love this. Yeah, let's talk about, like, why do you need to work with the humans?
I don't know. I had this like thought when I was starting all this, like, oh gosh. Well, the animals are absorbing a lot of energy from their human caretaker. Mm-hmm. And it's really going to benefit the animal to have the human get some of this clearing as well. And so I was really coming from a place of trying to what's the mm-hmm. best help I can give the pet.
Yep.
But I think I work with animals for a reason. And not that I don't love humans. I love lots of humans. But I don't feel like it's my battle to like try and, I don't know. I just don't feel like I don't know how many humans are open to all this stuff yet for themselves. And I don't really want to market to that pain point.
I love it. So, I
think there's lots of people that already can do that too.
Yeah. There's a lot of specialists.
Yeah.
That's what they do with the humans.
Yeah.
They couldn't do what you do with the animals. Mm. So I think it's important. It's part of your service to the humans to point out that we have made some progress today with the animal, but the animal is absorbing your energy. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage you, when you feel like it, if you feel like it, to get some support with that, maybe with someone who's like this or something, you know. I don't know if you have, and see, here's where you dovetail nicely with people that you can then recommend to other people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, here's people who can help you with that. Maybe there's Reiki people who deal with grief.
Right.
You know, you can find them in LA and mm-hmm. them along. And then you go to them, like, I think we have overlapping clientele. Because I'm going into homes where there's been grief and I know that the energy is shared between the humans, but I don't work with the humans, but you do. And you could certainly ask your clients, you know, do you have any pets? Because they're experiencing this loss too. And here's a colleague who does that. So you giving up that part of your business might actually be a way for you to get more referrals.
Yeah.
Because you have an opportunity to easily refer people that way. Because that's the thing. That's how Miata and I kind of started too. We already had shared a lot of clients, but it's because I did not do what she does. And she did not. She's like, you need to get your finances organized. She's like, I'm not going to help you do it like physically, but she will. And I'm like, yeah. So here's your physical finances all organized, but actually you need to get like your financial house in order, but I don't do that. It's great to find colleagues that do the thing you don't do. And that's why it's good to articulate what you do, because then you can spot, oh, these are all the things I do not do. And those are all the people who can refer to me. Now, my question is, you have this lovely tagline, energetic cleansing
yeah. for
their furry companions and the spaces they share.
Which you came up with, by the way.
Which I did, but it's very good. I actually think you can keep it.
Oh, really?
I think, yes, because I think I like, and here's why. I like it because just in that tagline, you're connecting the dots for people in a way they may not have connected it before. Oh, right. Like this influences my pets and my pets are influenced by the space and my pets are also influenced by me. And if you come in and energetically help their pet, it's going to influence the peace in their space. Mm-hmm. And it is going to influence the peace in the homeowner because they don't see their pet in distress mm-hmm. anymore. Their pet has kind of calmed down. So whatever you do with the animal is influencing the other. Mm-hmm. So I think you can keep that tagline. And then when your clients go, oh my gosh, you did such a great job with Cody, my dog, you know, can you work your magic on me? You can go, that is a specialty and it's not my specialty. My specialty is Cody, but here's who to look for, or here are some people to check out. But I like that tagline because I think that's the concept you're trying to get them aware of. Mm. Like, this is all connected, and you can't be crazy over here and expect your animal to be peaceful.
Yeah.
Your house is energetically chaotic or whatever. Obviously your dog's going to be disturbed by that. Yeah. So I would keep the tagline and just see if it's causing confusion or people are, oh, but I thought you, and then you just go through the rest of your website and take out anything where you're talking about a service for the human. You want them to be, I mean, your title of the business is Peaceful Pets.
Yeah.
So that's why I think you can keep the tagline.
Okay. Do you think I should move the humans further? I don't, because it's the first thing.
Yes. What if you said energetic cleansing for animals, their human companions, and the spaces they share?
Okay.
Yeah. So just take out furry, put humans, and then put animals. Energetic cleansing for animals, their human companions, and the spaces they share.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that I had, I appreciate what Julia was talking about with you. I've been hemming and hawing, a little uncomfortable about the price that I have set. And I think it was because something else, what you said to Julia, it's about something else. It's about working with the human, and I can't get behind it. And then I was thinking, well, maybe if I lowered my prices. But then I started to realize, like, what if I just don't work with the human? And so I'm feeling a little more open and better about the prices I have set, you know?
And yeah.
I also feel more open about, like, giving out my friends and family rate, if need
be. To your friends and family?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or to people who might be, no. Okay. I see your face.
I mean, you can work with someone at the friends and family rate, or you can find somebody to pay the other rate.
Yes.
It's the same amount of time.
It's just, like, believing in that, isn't it? All right. Yes. I got it.
But people have already paid you at the rate you've requested on your website, correct? No, because you've been discounting it automatically.
Yeah. So what I did was, with my client, who's my regular pet sitting client, I just kind of customized a thing for her. So I walk her dogs, right, and then I do a session. And because she was my first and already a regular who's been with me for years, I did like a major discount, but I charged transportation to go over there, and I charged for the walk. So it comes out to like $135, which is about $65 less than what I charge for the first session.
How about?
I also don't think I need, sorry.
No, go ahead. Say that.
I also don't know that I need to structure it the same way anymore. My packages, we have an intake appointment that costs more because I thought I was going to deal with the humans and it's going to be, you know, what's going on. But I just did like an add-on Reiki session for a pet sitting client recently, and I just said, hey, let me know if there's anything you want me to focus on. Literally in a text, it took, you know, 30 seconds to read it or less. So I was like, well, maybe I don't need to do that. And I could just have each appointment set at 185 instead of 200. Okay, no.
No, just
225. And go higher.
Right now, this is what I was going to say. Okay. Right now, what if you just did an experiment?
Okay.
And you said, okay, so we have like the rest of the year.
Yeah.
The rest of the year, these are going to be my rates. There's no intake. I mean, if it's a la carte, it's $200 for up to 90 minutes. And if it's a three pack, the first session is $200. That's fine. Cause that's admin. Onboarding a new client is admin. You go back and forth in the email, blah, blah, blah.
And admin, the post breakdowns that I do take me like 30 to 45 minutes. Cause I go through, I have a little thing.
Okay.
And I do pictures
let me ask you this question.
Okay.
How necessary is that? And if it's necessary, are you over delivering in that department?
I'm probably over delivering because I want to show the owner that this stuff is doing something. It's not just BS.
Uh-huh. And how are you showing them that in the post thing?
I just show like every time I, like when I connect to Reiki the animals usually calm and relax. Like there's something that they do in their body that shows there's energy coming through. Mm-hmm. And just them dropping into a very deep, relaxative state.
Mm-hmm.
I like to show proof of that. And when I use the crystals, they change positions or they go deeper into relaxation. And I just like showing that, like, this is happening.
Right. As the pet owner, uh-huh. If I hire you to do this with my animal,
yeah,
chances are I'm going to notice they're a little different, right?
I guess.
I mean, isn't that the point that I'm like, oh, she's just calmer, right? Yeah. So I think I love that you're like, this is so cool. See. But I think you can let that go because not just because of the time and energy and cost of it, but I want you just to own, I do this and it works and I love it. And the animal loves it. And we have our little private time together and it works. I really feel like anybody who's going to hire you doesn't need any convincing that this works.
Okay.
They've already convinced themselves that it's at least worth a shot.
Okay.
Sorry. They're either all in of like, woo, woo, love this stuff. Or they're like, I'm so desperate that I hope this works, but I'm willing to take a shot. It's not your job to make them true believers if they're not. It's just your job to make them go, oh yeah, Fido seems calmer. And that's great. That's all I wanted. If I was going to hire you, I just can't fathom not believing you work. Okay. And then I think the disbelievers are always going to fall into the category of I'm so desperate, I'll try anything. And everybody else is going to be like, of course, Reiki on my pet.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I also think it will cut
for you just to own it. This is what I do. It works. I've seen it a million times. These are my rates.
Okay. My sessions don't need to be 90 minutes anymore.
Okay. Great. Talk to me.
45 minutes to an hour.
Okay, great. Then just say up to 60 minutes, same price.
Okay.
This is a luxury item.
Yes.
Not a necessity. It isn't something they're going to have to do for 6 months. Have you in for a couple sessions? mm-hmm. or even one session. Mm. Even if someone's like, I don't know, I'm desperate, they'll throw $200 at their pet to try to make them happier. It's, you fall into the category of like stuff for weddings.
Yeah.
Nobody needs gold-plated silverware, but you know, it's their one time to have gold-plated silverware. So cool. Throw that in, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do think people do need this and animals do need this, but
right
in our culture, not right now, it is a gold-plated silver fork.
Yes. Yes. I'm just saying it's, I didn't mean it. That might be a bad comparison because they don't say it's frivolous.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not dog food.
Yes. Right.
Dog it's, energy clearing.
It's outside of the essentials of your blood circulating, keeping blood circulating and things.
But
although I could argue that too.
Yeah. But people pay for their pets.
Yes, they do.
They lavish money on their pets just like they lavish money on their wedding to a degree.
Yeah.
That's maybe even outside of what they lavish on themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're in a good category. Your prices are fine.
Okay.
Take all the human stuff out
mm-hmm.
up to 60 minutes so that you can kind of average 45. Take out the post thing, which is going to give you a raise without raising your prices because now you don't have to do that work. Yeah. Take that all out. And then you are going to sit with this for the rest of the year and just try to get clients.
Okay.
And see, because what I think you're going to see is people are like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to experience resistance. And I think your friends and family rate needs to be like your super tight, close circle of friends and your actual blood relatives.
Okay.
Stop treating everyone like they're your friends and get the special rate. Okay. This, let them make their choice. Let them make the choice. Get your nose out of their pocketbook.
Mm. Mm. It's none of my business.
Yeah. None of your business. They may not even be paying for it. Their rich aunt could be like, oh, sweetie, I'll do it. I'll pay for it. You don't know.
Yeah.
So, and that's like, it goes back to like Julia,
mm-hmm.
your economic level is not necessarily your client's economic level or your access to money. Your clients may have a whole other access to money that you have no idea of. So nose out of it, but thank God people are at a different economic level than you because then they can pay you. I couldn't necessarily afford to hire me as an organizer when I was an organizer. Like I didn't have that budget for organizing, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not your client. My sister used to say to me, it's a pair of boots. Your hourly rate's like a pair of, people pay that and way more for a pair of boots or a purse, like way more, like $200 is a cheap purse.
Yes, it is.
I've never paid more than $200 for a purse. There are people who pay a lot more. $1,500 is like average for a nice bag. And I'm just appalled. I'm like, unless I have $1,500 in the purse, in cash, just hanging out, I don't want a $1,500 purse necessarily, but that's like baseline for just a nice purse, like bottom designer handbag. That's not fake.
True.
Yeah. So
probably actually that's secondhand at.
Yeah. For
a consignment or something.
Right. So like the three pack of $530 for your three pack to help their beloved furry family member, it's nothing. And I'm saying this because you have to get aligned with these rates are fair. These rates are fine.
Yeah. I was just thinking like last week about the people I go to get my hair cut. And I was like, wow, I got to become a hairdresser or something, like 125 hair, 175, 300 for color and cut, you know, like but I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to school for that and try that. And then like yesterday I was like, what could I do that has, and I was like, duh, you're already doing it. You offer these Reiki sessions, come on. And yeah, because I'm starting to feel again the bit of pain of how much I'm giving in pet sitting of my life for, you know, less than, it's like 125 to 145 a whole day.
Why don't you stop that?
I need it right now as I get actual Reiki clients, but.
Okay. But how much time, this is an interesting, this is why I'm
but
going
I'm also to, really loyal
for everyone. How much, because here there's always, what Julia was referring to is when I'm saying like, you have your day job, and yes, then you have your little side biz, then you want to grow the side biz, but you can't have the day, like the day job just sit here and doesn't move. The side business needs to grow as the other income shrinks, and then they become equal, and then you can grow. But this has to shrink because you're keeping yourself trapped by like, I need the money from the pet sitting and I have it, but it's taking all the time that I would put towards getting other clients at the higher rate. So can you drop one of your pet sitting clients, the worst one or the one that's farthest away or the one that pays the least, just to free up some more time that you dedicate to like finding clients?
Possible. Because that's about saying no and setting boundaries. And I like these people, and most of them, I really like their pets. Okay, I got mindset work to do.
These are hard choices to make in life. And it's not just you. No matter how we're wired, even though we're all wired differently, we will have points in our life. We're like, oh, I actually have to choose me or them. And that's a hard choice to make because, especially as women, we're conditioned that choosing you is so selfish, so conceited. Who do you think you are? And it's like, no one who's achieved anything achieved it without choosing them over themselves over other people at some point. It's not that you become this selfish person that never doesn't. No, but it's like, who gets my time? Who gets my attention? Me or them? And if you have a desire to advance and expand, at some point it has to be you. And those can be heartbreaking decision points in your life, but you're at one. And I'm not saying you have to give up. What do you have, two regulars or three, or how many regular? I can't, can I not hear you?
No, I'm counting.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got like five.
That you see weekly?
No, that okay. I'm usually six that I pet sit every month or every other month. So they're always like, I don't have anything until the end of this month, but I was just since, you know, like June, beginning of June, I've been pet sitting for most of the days till just now.
Okay. So here's what I might suggest. Going forward, maybe decide this is a better way to do it than dropping clients. Mm. Unless there's people who are paying nothing, you have to drop them.
Okay. But
maybe going forward, you decide, I can afford, I need this many hours, barest minimum of pet sitting per month.
Okay.
And once those fill. And you have to start saying no to people. You cannot add more than that because the rest of the time you have to go find clients for this. And you have the way to, you have, I don't like using that. You have to, but the way this works and what will give you the like discipline and ability to hold the boundary with yourself is if you are getting more and more and more excited about peaceful pets and be like, oh my God, I can't wait to get clients and I'm really excited to look for them and I really want to make this happen and I know that it can. It's the stories you're telling yourself about peaceful pets that make you so excited.
Mm.
Because right now what you're doing is like, but I need this money and this is the thing and that might not work and I don't know and I keep discounting it and I haven't gotten enough clients. The only reason you haven't got enough clients is because it just hasn't, the marketing time hasn't been invested.
No.
So that story is false. Like it's not working. It's not, it's going to work.
Yeah.
But you're telling yourself stories about pet sitting and stories about peaceful pets that's making you stay
in pet
sitting. It's got to go. So let it, here's another way to think of the math. Okay. I need, if I book 6 hours with the pet sitting during a month and I book 1 3-pack with peaceful pets, that gives me the amount that I was earning all from pet sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need one client to book a 3-pack or 3 people to book one session. And that's your goal. And that's what you go after. And you replace the pet sitting money.
Yeah.
And then you lower your pet sitting hours again and find 2 clients a month. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then eventually will go away. It was really heartbreaking for me. I've had so many of these moments. It was so heartbreaking for me when I stopped organizing because I was like, but I'm such a good organizer and I, you know, get psychology and people love it and they have such, and they're not going to have this experience with other organizers.
Mm-mm.
But I was the only one who knew that. Nobody else who, it's like, they were fine. They go work with other people. But I was heartbroken. And it was the same thing when I gave up. I had done mastermind groups at the Actors Network for 11 years. And then I had 2 ongoing and everybody was great in them and everybody loved them. And then I was like, oh, I have to give them up. Oh, so I just gave up 1. And then I had to decide between the 2, which one was I going to stop? And then I knew those people would be super disappointed because they couldn't get into the other group because it was full. And then eventually had to stop the other. I mean, it was heartbreaking. But then people who were in my group was like, we don't want to stop. How can we pay you? And I was like, what? And that's how the paid groups came into my life. I didn't know that was going to happen. You don't, but I freed up space for something. Hmm. It's time, Regina. You've got a great concept for a business. You're really good at it. When people hear that it exists, they're going to book you. And it's time to choose you. And I know it's time because you've been building your muscles of choosing you because you just went through that thing with your manager. So it's like, yes, you chose. See, that worked. Freed up space. Same thing. You're growing up. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I love it. And growing, it's why it's called growing pains because sometimes it hurts, this life of ours. But that doesn't mean it's wrong. And instead of telling yourself the story, oh, but I'm disappointing. These clients love me so much. It's like, I'm lessening the amount of people who get me. It's like, no, you're just changing the people who get you. Mm. Get to experience you. You just change. And eventually, if all goes well with your acting career, you won't be doing peaceful pets anymore. And you'll be, people will get to experience you and a lot more people in a totally different way. You're not denying anybody the beautiful experience of you. You're just changing who's getting it. And that can be sad, because then I eventually stopped in 2021. I ended my groups for actors altogether. And some people in that group have been with me for 10 years, but it was time. I wanted to give myself to a different group of people. Mm-hmm. It's hard to decide to do, but it's called growth. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to hearing what you decide and how you arrange it. Your muscles, like, I'm so happy. They're so big and strong. But you have to test them. That's how you find out how strong you are. You lift something and go, oh my God, I can lift that. But you got to lift it. So try, so you can see how strong you are.
Okay. I might be back next week with like specific verbiage and who.
Yeah, totally. I'm all here. All ears open. So thank you. Sarah, I see, you're welcome. Sarah, your hand. We still have time. What's up?
Hey, Christine. I missed you so much. I'm so glad you're back.
I'm back.
I feel like for me, like, these sessions are always about like valuing yourself and making, for me, that translates into more money. I got this awesome job and I want to make, I'm sort of looking at it as my cash flow, cause it's like, it is my cash flow. Mm-hmm. And, I wanted to make more money in it. And sometimes I feel like the way, like, so there's like this coworker and he's just hypercritical. And I get really triggered by criticism, and he's like extremely critical. And so I've just started coming with like my guns a-blazing in terms of preparation and making sure I can kind of like, because I actually am more skilled at him at the job that we do. But the reason I'm asking is because this might not make sense, but like, sometimes I feel like the fact that I get triggered by other people like prevents me from making as much money as I could be making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you see that? Connect those dots. Like, I believe, like, you. I want to hear how you connect those dots.
Yeah. So with this guy, for instance, like it triggers me to like make myself smaller, and I'm not actually making myself smaller. I'm like actively trying to not do that, mm-hmm. but like it triggers these feelings of like, I better make myself small. I better not like piss this person off, or I got to get, you know, people to like me. And just sometimes I feel like I was just an under earner for such a long time. And I feel mm-hmm. like I'm not under earning anymore, but I feel like I still have the under earning on me, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I just sometimes I'll just get into my head and I'll be like, oh, Sarah, this is why you're not making as much money as you could be at this job, because you let guys like that get to you, you know? I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, 100%. Okay. More, this is so good. And you're absolutely right. You do not shed the under-earning mentality by getting a job that pays you more. By suddenly earning more doesn't change your like psychological wiring. That is a process.
But it was like when you had encouraged me to ask for that raise at the previous job, like that sort of started this domino effect, but I still find myself frustrated with like this, just, I don't know, like not fully being confident in like my own value. And I'm really annoyed.
Yes. Oh, this is so good, Sarah. But you have absolutely pinpointed a little step up in your growth that is going to serve you so well. And you are, I mean, look, the universe is so on your team. And I don't mean that like they've chosen you. It's theirs. They're hearing you. You are getting evidence they're hearing you and seeing you. And they're getting evidence that you are seeing what they're offering and making choices, and you guys are working as a team. You're dancing the tango right now together, and it's so beautiful. And they're like, Sarah, we have totally heard your request for expansion financially. So we have sent an angel down to be in your life and teach you what you want to know, because your other request is, and I'd like this to happen as fast as possible. So they're like,
yeah.
Okay, then we're really going to send you. I mean, if you want to lose weight, fat, it's like the boot camp aerobic video. It's like boot camp. So you have an angel now who's been put into your life for to facilitate this growth. And it is this man. And so God bless him. Bless him.
Okay.
When he's doing his thing and being like, beep, 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 beep. You're like, listen to the blessings. Listen to the music of the blessings. You can also emotionally be irritated, but I want you to acknowledge that he is your gym. He's your one man gym.
Wow. That makes me feel so much better. I can't even tell you.
Yeah. It makes you feel lighter and around him.
Yeah.
Which will help you. It might even have an effect on him. We don't know, but, I want you to see him as the gym. And so people liking, I want you to take these concepts and pull them apart. And it might take some time because they're sticky in your mind.
Yeah.
People liking me is separate from me earning more. We have lots of examples that those are actually not necessarily, they don't need to be connected for either of them to be true. In the best possible way, people do like you and you're making money. Like that's what's called a lovely life. But in every single scenario, that doesn't have to be true. Now, that is way different from the attitude people have of like, I just have to be me and I got to keep it real. And if I piss everybody off, like, no. No, this is about owning who you are, being a person of integrity and kindness and generosity, doing your job, and letting people have their feelings about you.
Oh yeah. Wow. Oh God.
Because it takes energy to make more money. And I'm not talking about physically doing work. I'm talking about the energy to strategize, the energy to notice new opportunities, the energy to research, the energy to get your shit in order. Because every level you go to, and it's funny to me when people come into Abundance Bound, they're like, oh my God, I have to get all my stuff in order. I'm like, yeah. And when you start earning $300,000 a year, you're going to have to get a whole new layer of shit in order. And then when you earn $1 million, lawyers, wills, like, if just embrace it. Because if you want financial expansion at every single thing, there's a whole other paperwork thing to get in order, new, bigger taxes, all that stuff. So, so you need energy for that to earn more money, not managing everybody's feelings about.
Yeah.
Now, in order to not manage everybody's feelings or even this one guy's feelings about you, you have to do your work on detangling the triggers and what's behind that. Cause it's not them. What's behind that is old stuff, patterning, experiences you've had, trauma you've experienced, childhood stuff, all of that.
Right.
That's all the stuff you bring to the table. So, yeah. So I want you to put energy towards that.
Yeah.
And it's just, so there are going to be people in your new work that don't like you.
Right.
And there'll be people who actively don't like you. And then there's people like, eh, she's just not my favorite, but I can deal with her. And there's right. going to be people who fall into all those categories for you too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Cause it's just people. It's just people. Right. But your job is to do your job and be a nice, decent human. You know, you don't muck up anybody else's experience and do your work.
Yeah.
And then when I'm going to tell you something else that they'll set you up for, this is the journey I see you on. But it is about being able and finding tools and ways to handle when you're confronted or called out on something or criticized unfairly. Like that's something for you to handle and right. find the ability to mm. handle. And that's a process and it will take time.
Yeah.
So here's where I see you going. And this is actually what I'm going to describe is something that was, I heard from this coach named Michelle Irving, and she actually, her specialty is helping women with chronic illness find their power and live inside what she calls the underworld of that. But I love her description of the queen self mm. and our warrior self. Mm. The queen self, that we don't just magically become the queen. We have to, and this works for men. I'm just talking in the feminine. This is a process to claim the throne, boundaries, decisions, letting other people do what they're doing, that kind of stuff. The queen makes the decisions. The warrior carries out the decisions that the queen makes, which means the dynamic is not that the warrior is on the defensive, that the warrior is on the lookout for the queen. The warrior's on the lookout, noticing things. Oh yeah, that guy is very hypercritical. Then the warrior goes back to the queen and goes, do you need me to do anything about this? Mm. And then she makes the decision of like, no, I got to handle my shit around that. You don't need to do anything. Or yeah, if they call you out, this is how we're going to handle it. I want you to write up a report, or I want you to tell your boss, like, this is how we're going to handle it. But the queen has the warrior, so she's not feeling super vulnerable, like she's going to be attacked. She's got the warrior who can handle it. But the warrior isn't making decisions out of the snap judgment of a threat. The warrior's noticing, reporting back to the queen. The queen's making the decision, and the warrior executes the decision. That is maturity.
Wow.
Does the warrior sometimes have to attack? Yes, but it's not like the warrior's triggered by the trauma and then just, you know, it's a decision to go to war. It's not impulse. And the warrior doesn't decide.
The queen right. decides. Queen decides.
So this is the dynamic that you are in the process of, and it takes a while, putting into your life. And part of it to get to your queen is really being able to unwind from some of these triggers. And the first step of that is just telling yourself a different story. Oh my God, acknowledge. Oh my God, I'm feeling so threatened right now because in the past I didn't have coping skills and I just repressed myself and I don't want to do that again. I'm scared of doing it again. So I'm getting worked up. Well, you need a new story. Okay. Whew, that's what I clearly see what I used to do. And I clearly know I'm not going to do that. this time. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but now I'm going to think about it. And I'm not going to act impulsively against this guy because it's not worth it. And he's an angel. He's not doing anything bad. He's just here. He is here to prompt you to reflect on you. Okay, why is this bugging me so much? Why do I hate the hypercriticism? I mean, who loves it? But why do I feel threatened by it? Because really, what's the threat of it? Let me unpack that. Like, what? I'm going to punch holes in all my old stories that get me so worked up. How does that feel? How does that resonate?
Amazing. Yeah, it totally, that it's so funny because I had sort of this therapist that I see, and she was like, I want you to write on the wall, like respond and react. And I want you to just decide, you know, make a decision to do one or the other, but like, it, you know, just to, and then I was talking the other day about like what, how a queen behaves anyway. And then you're, I don't know, you just are such a channeler. You always channel things. It's insane.
Thank you. Yes, I do believe that because, and the reason I believe it isn't because of, I don't have as much hair to like flick behind my shoulder anymore, but it's because I've had so many times where clients have said, oh my gosh, I was just reading this or thinking about this, or two people have said this to me before. And I'm like, that tells me that the universe is trying to get a message to you.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not going to tell you once. It's going to be like, here's the message, Sarah. Believe one of these sources, you know? And, but when you hear it, like the same thing, multiple times, you're like, okay.
Yeah. And I really need the universe to repeat itself. So it's really helpful.
I'm like, make it clear. Yeah. I joke around with my, I have a, my dear friend, one of my dear friends is an astrologer. So I know a little bit of, I know enough to make me dangerous and give misinformation. I went to her, the first time I went to her retreat. So everyone's zodiac sign when, or chart, when you look at it, is oriented. This is a long example, but it's oriented for their rising sign to be on the left hand of the page. My chart, because I'm a Pisces, happens to be oriented the way every example of an astrology chart of like, here's the 12 houses. So I thought everyone's chart was oriented that way. And I got so confused. I'm like, why are everyone else's charts tilted? And then I realized, oh, my astrology is oriented so basic. It's like the universe, you're not going to get this unless we do it 101 for you. So I totally know that I need to hear things basic and multiple times. So I'm with you. What you want to do though, when you're getting the lesson, is just take it and be like, great. Okay, I believe you. So it doesn't have, you don't have to hear it 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah. With the guy, I've been really keeping my mouth shut because I feel like 99% of the time I get triggered, it is actually my own baggage. Like, he's really annoying to work with, but also like the fact that it's annoying and not just kind of like a meh, you know, like it just shows me it's more historical. But then today he did say something that I automatically did the queen warrior thing. All I did was, we were in a Zoom meeting. All I did was frown. I kind of went like, and then it had a really powerful effect though. Like, you know, so it's, but I like the warrior. It's a safety thing, you know, cause like the warrior's not just going out on, you know, to me, my warrior is a man, but the warrior isn't going out on his own. Like, he's got the queen to like guide him. But then the queen also can make peaceful decisions because she has the warrior to like do the work I don't want to really do.
Yeah. And you frowning and tilting your head and being kind of like questioning, inquisitive about that. Was you not hiding? You were making your feelings known, but in a very non-disruptive, appropriate way. I am not saying that non-disruptive is always the best choice. Disruptive,
right.
It's all neutral. There's a light right. side and a dark side to disruptive and to non-disruptive, but your pattern has been non-disruptive. So it's great that you found a way to be present and register your feelings without being weird about it. You know, that's great. And just for everybody listening to this recording and everybody else who's here now, I am not saying that if someone is in your workplace who's actually toxic, you are not, it's this, oh, just let your queen take abuse. No. No, you should, no one should ever suffer actual abuse from anybody else in any way. But not everybody's annoyances and dick behavior and whatever and mean girl behavior is toxic. Like, no, some people are just really fucking irritating and only to you. Everybody else seems like, yeah, fine. But for you, it's just like oil and vinegar and who cares why?
Yeah.
So toxic has its place and it needs to be dealt with in a different way. But annoying and just like grating, that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mostly that's usually your reaction to the person.
Yeah.
Sarah, what a good question to go out on, everybody.
Thank you.
Fabulous. Have a wonderful Monday. Congratulations on your new job. But remember, you need energy to make money.
And right.
So don't be hemorrhaging out to other places you don't need to. Yeah. Bye, guys. See you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you.
You too, Christine.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.